Open your Bibles with me this morning to James chapter 4. The Lord spoke to me about this the other week. Actually, it was when we were having our leadership meeting that weekend last Saturday. The Lord always shows me something different. And one of the things the Lord wants to speak about is the title of this morning's message is Commit to Submit. And to commit to something means that you're dedicated or you're determined to yield. Submit is to yield to the Word of God. So if we can't be determined and dedicated to the Word to yield to it, it really can't really have an effect in our lives. You know, I was looking at something at I always see letter pitchers, and I was looking at, you know, we're in this world, we're not of this world, but I was looking at world, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, if you just lift that L out of that lust of the world, then you can stand on the Word. When that L is lifted, the world becomes the Word. And that L always gets in the way. Amen? Lust of a flesh, pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they're of this world. So with that in mind, in James chapter 4, verse number 5, the Word of God says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh or draw near to God, and he will draw nigh or near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And the title of this morning's message is Commit to Submit. We're going to look at the choosing, the cleansing, and the changing. Amen? Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and it will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your love, your mercy, and grace, and we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one of us that have gathered here today. Your word declares as your word goes forth, it comes forth to edify, to exhort, and to comfort every hearer, Father God. So, Lord Jesus, as your word goes forth in this sanctuary and through the website today, Father God, may it accomplish what you sent it to do. As your word declares, it'll never return unto you void. So I thank you for the plans and purposes you have for each and every one that's gathered here today. I bind every lie of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I declare them victorious, free in Christ Jesus, and will never cease to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, one of the things that stood out to me last week is some of the little things that we miss. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And he put a period there, okay? And I'd really never noticed the period before. And God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, period. Well, when I was thinking about that, I was saying, well, Lord, how can I draw really nigh to you? How can I get nearer to you? I mean, you're inside of me. Amen. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. And the Lord said, it's by as you seek me, it's by the revelation that comes from me in you, not just me being in you, but you having revelation of the one that's in us. And this comes by, one of the ways is by the word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he said another thing to me. And when he spoke to my heart about it, I want you to get a hold of something. He also draws near to us when we corporately come together in worship and praise him. The Lord has a desire to enter into unity and corporate prayers and corporate worship together. Why do you think the enemy wants to distract us so much? Somebody said to me, well, I've heard it many times. I asked, well, why aren't you praising the Lord? Or why aren't you worshiping? And he said, well, I really don't like that beat. Or I really don't like the sound of that song. Or I really don't like that song, okay? And then what came to my heart is Carly Simon, I believe, was the one that sang this song. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. Amen. And the Lord said, he reminded me, he said, I gave Matt Redman words to a song, and it came from my heart. And it goes like this, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search what's deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to a heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it because it's all about you. Amen? And God wants you to know it's not about the song. It's about the heart. Amen. It's about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm a loud guy and I sing loud, and I might not be the best singer in the room, but I love Jesus. Amen. And I just don't sing it here. When I'm running in the park, I'm singing in the park. When I'm walking in the park, I'm singing in the park. When I'm at the mall walking, I'm singing in the mall. I'm singing wherever I go because in my heart there rings a melody. Hello? And God says, don't forget where he found you, and don't forget what he brought you out of, and allow a song to be rising up in your heart and your soul today. Amen? You know, sometimes in the praise and worship service, they're trying to get folks involved, and there's a mentality is, and sometimes we come in and with this mentality, I shall not be moved. I'm stuck in the mud and I don't want to get out. Hello? Hey, you know what this is? This is total love of the Father. Because what he wants us to understand, he says, when you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. But it takes a choice. It's us choosing. Amen? It's making a choice. No matter what's going on, no matter whatever, I'm going to go ahead and praise him. I'm going to go ahead and worship him. Amen. So first and foremost, if we're choosing him, in Psalm 73, okay, that was my introduction. Hallelujah. 73, verse number 28, the psalmist says this. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare all thy works. And in other words, first we got to put something first. We got to put our trust in him. You know, we always say it, and it's a familiar scripture, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And one of the Lord's saying to me is, as we're drawing near to him, he'll draw near to us. Amen? You know, there's coming a time when the manifestation of God's going to be so strong, you won't be able to stand in his presence. And when that takes place is when we're in unity. Amen? Blessed are the brethren that dwell in unity. It's like the oil that went on Aaron's head, the beard, the shoulders, to the skirts. And there the Lord invoked the blessing, the favor of God. Amen. So when we're trying to encourage you to praise, it's for your benefit. It's for the benefit of you, and it's for the benefit of others. How many need something here today? Come on, let's be real. How many need something here today? Amen. How many need something from God today? You don't need it from me, you need it from Him. He's saying to you, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. In other words, if faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen, I'm going to go ahead and draw near anyway. I'm going to go ahead and praise Him anyway. I don't know. How many in here has God done something for? Let me see your hand. You know, if you come into the place and you give Him praise for what He's already done, He can't help to do more. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm really glad to be sitting beside you today. Amen. Amen. Because God inhabits the praises of His people, right? In Hebrews chapter 10, first we have to put our trust, but then we have to put it to practice. What you got? Huh? Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, I bind this pain right now by the power and authority of Jesus' name. I speak to these joints and tendons right now. I'll call them loosed. I speak again. Yeah, no, that's a lie from the pits of hell. She does not have the arthritis in no way. Father God, I speak to every joint right now, and I call it loosened in Jesus' name. Strengthened in your power and might in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, God wants us to know how valuable and how important everyone is in the body of Christ. Amen? Did it let up yet? Okay. Right. I'll make sure you're all right. You know, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Amen. God is the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Amen. And if you need healing in your body, mind, soul, and spirit, God is the healer. Amen. God is the healer. And He's always here. The Bible says where two or more gathered in His name, there He is to be found in the midst. So God is here today. Amen. You never have to doubt if God's here. Amen. Even when one doesn't act right, doesn't mean God's going to leave the house because somebody didn't act right. Amen. Because there's some that are acting right, and God's here for them too. Amen. Amen. How many know that we're all a work in progress and none of us have arrived yet? And God has a plan in every life of everyone that's in the room. Amen. So He says to you and I, but to put it to practice, we got to practice what we preach. And Jesus made it simple for us in John chapter 15. He said, in verse number 5, He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And we're talking about bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Kingdom fruit. Amen. And without Jesus, we can do nothing. He gives us a picture of a plant, of a vine in the branches. And if you break off a branch, how long does that branch live without being connected to the vine? And what happens? It begins to die. And Jesus says, if we're drawing near to Him, He's drawing near to us. We're drawn by the Word of God. His word is powerful. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what God is saying to us is, he is saying is, we draw nigh to him. If we abide in him, he'll abide in us. Amen? Are you with me? So Solomon says in Proverbs 8, chapter 7, can I get some amens in the house? You know, one of the things as a pastor, if I don't get amens in areas and at points, I have to continue until I get the affirmation. Amen. Any ameners in here? Solomon said this, get a hold of this. He says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. Those who seek me early. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The problem is we get up in the morning and we try to do our deal or go to work or do whatever, but we don't seek him first. And then when the adversity comes, we're not armed. We don't have on the armor of God and the protection of God to fight the battle. Amen. In other words, why does he say, seek me early and you'll find me? Because in the first thing in the morning, you're not as distracted as you will be in the day. And when you put it off to later, guess what? Something else always comes up. This happens, or this happens, or this happens, or this happens. You had great intentions. You know, the plan was good, but something messed with it. Amen? So he said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. In other words, for us to draw near to God and for him to draw near to us, I have to commit to submit to his word. Amen? And when I choose to commit to submit, then his word also begins somehow. When he said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you, period. Then he says, cleanse you your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. In other words, if you don't draw near to him first, you're not going to cleanse your hands and you're not going to purify your heart. Amen? Because it all comes from him. So with that in mind, if you look with me in Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet Isaiah said this. Am I getting to anybody here or am I just preaching to myself? Amen? The prophet Isaiah said this. Verse number 16, he said, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Amen. In other words, we're receiving the finished work of Calvary. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's crimson, it's red, and it's accomplished something in my life. And what he is saying is you have revelation of who we are and what we're called to do. All of a sudden, I'm going to wash it by the water of the word. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5, go with Ephesians 5 for a moment. Are y'all with me? I don't want to leave anybody behind. The Apostle Paul uses a parallel between the church and a marriage, a relationship. And verse number 25, he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right? So we're loving loving our wives like Christ loved the church. The love is flowing. That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And one of the things I want to say is tonight we're having special prayer for marriages and families. Maybe you need prayer in your marriage or your relationship, or maybe you need prayer for family members, that we're having a special prayer for those where we'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge for those relationships and those things. So I ask you to come and join us as we pray. So Christ loved the church, and he says he washes it and cleanses it by what? By the water of the Word of God. Remember, if we commit to submit to the Word, we can be cleansed and purified. It's his Word that does it. Amen? Amen? It's revelation of the Word, and when I recognize that it's his power, not mine, because I couldn't do it in my own power. I couldn't do it in my own strength. But he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So as I stand on the Word of God, that's where I'm being washed and I'm being purified. That's why the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I got a new Bible, so bear with me. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What did he say? The promises of what? God's word. What's it going to do? It's going to help cleanse us from filthiness of flesh and spirit. What's it going to do? It's going to perfect holiness in the fear of God, or in the reverence of God. So what does he say first? We have to commit to submit. We commit to submit by choosing. Amen? We're choosing what? To draw nigh to God. And he's going to draw nigh to us. We're committing to submit to his word. As we draw nigh to God by choosing to draw near to him, that he's also, since we're drawing near to him in his word, that it's going to help to cleanse us, to purify us. But then he says, draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He is saying this calls for us to change. You know, so when we're looking at that, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus gave us a perfect illustration of this. And verse number 13. He said, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God in this world. Amen? In other words, we got to remember that picture of the world. We got to lift that L, the lust of the things of this world, out, and it becomes strong by the word of God. Thank you for checking on that for me. Thank you. Amen? Sometimes when you, and you look at mammon, and mammon is money, and God doesn't he wants you to have money, but when money becomes your God, or everything becomes about money, then he takes second, third, fourth, fifth place. plays. And that's why he says the love of money is the root of all evil. Anyway, why some have coveted after it, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And Jesus put it simple. He said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Was it about the money? No. It was about the love for the money. Amen. And putting those things before him. That's why he says to you and I, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have. But God isn't going to allow you to have more of you. He ain't going to let you just give you something to destroy yourself with it. Amen. Are you with me? So what he's talking about here is, hey, we gotta choose. We gotta commit to submit. Hello? Is that difficult? God never said it was easy. Hello? God says, wide is the road to destruction, narrow is the way to life, and there be few there that find it. Amen? And in other words, God wants to bless you with health, with wealth, with well-being, as long as your priorities is in order. Amen? He doesn't want those things to come in front of him. He says, I'm a jealous God. I want your first part. And when you give me your first part, I'll bless the remainder. That's right. Amen. We serve a God that loves us and gives exceedingly above what we ask or even think. So the Apostle Paul said it in a different light in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus said this. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, personally, if it was up to me, I would like just to speak on something else, but God says I have to give his word. Amen? I don't have the option. Amen? It's his word, and he ain't going to change it. God says I'm not going to change my word, so what needs to change? You and I have to change. God wants us to change our lives and align our lives with his word, and he says you'll be blessed and favored for it. Not only now, but for eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to reign in the intercourse. I want to walk with him, especially in this millennial reign on this earth. I know the Jews are, when the new heaven and new earth comes down, I know that the Jews are going to be in the inner circle and we're going to be in the outer circle. That's okay, but the outer circle is filled with glory too. But there's a millennial reign or 1,000 years on this earth. We're going to reign with Christ on this earth. Hallelujah. And I want to serve. I want to be right next door to him, all right? Amen. So all God's saying is, hey, I'm going to give you everything, and it's not just about today. Sometimes you don't have some of the things you're wanting today. And if you got some of the things you were wanting today, those things that you're wanting today would probably kill you, would probably steal from you and take what God has in store for you. Amen. That doesn't mean that God wants to bless you, but he knows when the perfect time is. God's never late. God's time is never late. God is always on time. He's never late. There's an old statement that God's time is not my time, but he's always on time. He's never late. Amen. Amen. And God has a plan in every life and everyone that's in this room. But the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, 21, he said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I know, man. When I read about the Lord and I see the Lord, he's a very jealous God. Amen. Amen. And he loves you, and he has a plan for every life in this room, and he's jealous for you. Amen. He wants him to be your first love. You know, I love Christ first. I get an opportunity next week after next. Week after next, celebrate 43 years, and I love my wife. I love her with all my heart, but I don't love her more than I love God. I do not put her before God. Now, God tells me to honor her, respect her, to love her, but she doesn't come before God. He comes first, and then he blesses me with her. What a blessing. Isn't she a blessing?
Yeah.
She's kind of pretty too, isn't she?
I love it.
Wait a minute. Listen, you want your marriage to work? You want your relationship to work? God says if you put him first in your life, give him the first part, he'll bless it. He'll watch over it. He'll keep it. And most marriages and relationships are broken because he wasn't in the first place. He wasn't in didn't have the preeminence over your marriage and your relationship. And God says if you'll do that, there's nothing that can destroy it. There's nothing that can destroy it. It will grow in love, in love, in love. And, you know, with 43, I love her more every day. I'm just saying, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I really love her. Amen? Because I've adjusted her to me over 40. No. Actually, truthful, as I've adjusted to her. I want to speak to some guys in the room. Can I speak to some men? Let me speak to men. God didn't create us like women. I'm just not talking in the physical nature. God didn't create us. He created us as the head of the home. And men, we just make decisions and move and do things because that's the way God's created us. But the women were created with more feelings than we truly have. And what God wants us to do in our marriages and our relationships is, men, get in touch with your wives' feelings. And the two of you become one. Amen. It isn't all about how macho I am. Me, man. Ha. It's about being connected with them, not only by the natural, but in the spirit. That God said we became one. There ain't two of us any longer. Amen. So guess what? If my wife suffers, I suffer. If my wife rejoices, I rejoice. Amen. So you know what I've learned to do? Try to make her as happy as I can. Hello? Hello? I don't know about you, but the people that say, a happy home is a good home. Hallelujah. Amen. And that one that God gave you, amen, he gave you for eternity. Amen. That's right. Amen. That was free. Guess what, men and women? In marriage, the Bible says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, in the reverence of the Lord, that works both ways. Amen? Amen? God wants us to have, in the body of Christ, he wants us to have vibrant marriages and families, strong families, strong. Why? Because we're putting the things of God first in our lives. And if we do that, he says, all the other things will be added, right? Amen? Parents, oh, here we go again. Children do not come before God, and children do not come before your spouse. Hello? Sorry, children. Husbands and wives come first. We're to train them, to raise them up, to love them, amen? But we're to honor one another, submit to one another. Nowhere in the Bible says, submit, mothers and fathers, submit to your children. There's a little reversal there. It says, children, honor your your parents. Amen. This message wasn't even about marriage or family, but look what the Holy Spirit's doing. Why is he doing that? Because God truly cares about your relationship. God truly cares about your family. Now, if you've come from a broken family or a broken marriage, there's nothing you can do about it but learn from it. Amen? So it doesn't happen to you again. Amen? James says in James 1:8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? So he's saying that we're either for him or we're not. You know? I don't know. I serve a jealous God. So in closing, we commit to submit by choosing. When we choose to submit, commit to submit to God's word, there's a cleansing that takes place in our lives. When we choose to submit, amen, we not only have the choosing, the cleansing, but all of a sudden things will become changing. Here's the thing. So many people are wanting the effect of God's word without putting his word to practice. In other words, if it's not applied, it can't have an effect. I don't know, you could do it all day long. You can get you a bucket of paint and a paintbrush, and you could sit that bucket there and that brush there. But unless you get up and apply that paint to the wall, that wall will never change. That bucket could stand there forever. Oh, I got that. I got the word. It's right here. Oh, I got it. Oh, I got my Bible. I got the word. But unless I apply it, it can't, there's no way to change. That's why he says in his word, be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, because I'm doing it according to his word. So there we have, he says to us today to choose, to cleanse, to change, and he gives us his word to charge. And in 2 Timothy, verse number one, the apostle's writing to his student Timothy. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or teachers telling them what they want to hear. God says to us today, he wants to lift that L out of the world so we would stand on his word. So what is God, Lord, saying in closing today? He's called us to commit, to submit. We have the choosing.